بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our fourth session, reading from the commentaries on العقيدة التحاوية by الإمام أبو جعفر التحاوي رحمه الله. And with the primary, يعني brief Sharh of Al-Imam Al-Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan Hafidhullah and the commentaries of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Abdul Ibn Baz Rahimahullah and Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani Rahimahullah. So tonight we're going to be looking at the third, fourth and fifth point, and the numbering of these points is, and it has been, and there are some differences from one, from the Arabic to the English, from one copy to a different copy. So the numbering might be a little bit confusing, but in any case, in the past 2 weeks we covered the first point, and we covered the second point. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to look at the third, fourth, and fifth point. Before we do that, we're going to take a quick look at some of the topics that we covered in the previous session from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 3. The first question being, memorize the first statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, as it relates to Tawheed. The first statement, yani after the introduction. Anybody know the first statement? Naam, I see a hand back there, I don't know who it is. Naeem, naam. Okay, that's the introduction. That's the introduction, yes. Naam, follow. واحدٌ واحدٌ نعم إن الله واحد لا شريك له. This is the first statement of the Aqeedah after the introduction. After the introduction, the meaning of which is that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. He is unique, and there is no partner or associate for him. There is no partner or associate for him. And this is after the introductory statement that the brother Naeem was referring to, yani that they said, yani an introductory statement, this is what we say concerning the Tawheed of Allah, believing by the Tawfiq of Allah, we say that Allah indeed is wahid, one, unique, and there is no sharik, no partner for him. The second question mentioned the two important matters contained in this first statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah. Two important matters. Zaki. The two matters are dealing with Tawheed and Shirk. Naam. Affirmation of Tawheed and negation of Shirk. Naam. Inna Allaha wahidun, indeed Allah is one, is the affirmation, the ithbat of a Tawheed. And la sharika lahu, there is no partner for him or associate for him, is the negation of yani shirk, that he doesn't, there's no one that has any yani right to be associated with him. The third question, of the three aqsam, divisions of Tawheed, which one does Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, say is the maqsood, the intended, and why? Ahmed. Naam? Ubudiyya. Yani the maqsood of the three divisions, the three aqsam of Tawheed, Tawheed al-Rububiyya, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, and Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, the maqsood. Yani what is intended, the yani objective, the ghaya, what we are seeking from these aspects of Tawheed, the most important thing is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, Tawheed al-Ubudiyya, or Tawheed al-Ibadah. This is the maqsood. And why? Why does he say this is the maqsood? You want to finish the question?
Because the mushrikeen, they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has oneness, but they didn't worship him.
Okay, because the mushrikeen, the disbelievers, they believed that Allah is the creator, but they didn't worship him alone. Naam. Anybody else want to add to that? Naam. Shanawaz.
The reason was to preach this.
The Shaykh, he said that the messengers that were sent to establish, yani, the worship of Allah alone. and the revelations that were revealed with the establishment of the worship of Allah alone. And jihad in the path of Allah was established for this purpose, so that Allah alone will be worshipped and nothing should be worshipped along with Him. The Naam, you have your hand?
I was going to say,
Naam. And the Shaykh also said that if a person just limited themselves, believing, testifying, affirming Tawheed or Rububiyyah, without affirming the worship of Allah alone, then they would not be considered as a Muslim. They would not be considered as a Muslim. The fourth question, how many are the anwa, the types of shirk, and how are they referred to? How many are the types of a shirk? Naam, what's your name, brother? Idris? Idris, naam. Three types of shirk. And just briefly, how do we refer to them? Or how has the Shaykh referred to them? Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, mentions that there are three types of shirk and all of them should be, yani, negated. Naam. Not specification, just what do we call them? Yani, they're shirk what? What kind of shirk are they? Yes.
Same exact names.
Okay, same exact names. Like, give us, what are the exact names? Shirk in uluhiyya. And shirk in rububiyya. And shirk in asma wa sifat. Naam. Yani, the shirk is in may be in each one of the divisions or types of a tawheed. More specifically, what does the first type of shirk entail, as mentioned by Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah? What does the first type of shirk entail? Now, Abdul Wali.
Shirk will be that a person believes that there is a creator besides Allah, mostly the fire worshipers, that someone else has a hand in creating, providing, and all the sifat of Allah, that someone shares in that.
So, Naam, do you want to add something to that? Okay, the Majus believe that there is a creator for evil. Yani that there are two creators, one who creates good and the other who creates evil. So, the important thing, what does this entail? Yani, shirk in ar-rububiyyah entails a person believing that there is a creator along with Allah. A creator besides Allah. And there is another creator along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means that they are associating. They are making some association between Allah and something else in the creation as being a creator along with Him. And he gives the example of the Majus who say that there is a creator of evil, yani other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sixth question, what does the second naw or type of shirk entail as mentioned by Shaykh Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah? The second type of shirk, what does it entail? In brief. Now, Adam.
Worshipping somebody along with Allah.
Okay, it entails that something other than Allah is worshipped along with Allah. That is, yani something in the creation that is given, something, yani of worship, that belongs exclusively to Allah alone. And the Shaykh, he did say that like, Naam. Okay, like a person, yani, who was associating the prophets or the righteous, yani, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling on them in times of need, and so on. The seventh question, what does the third naw or type of shirk entail as mentioned by Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah? Third type of shirk. Anybody else over here? Quiet over here. Yeah, good. Who's that over there?
Nasir.
Nasir, fadl.
I believe the difference in the quality of Allah alone, there is something else quality that only belongs exclusively to Allah.
Giving something in the creation, describing something in the creation with a description that's from the sifat al-khasa lillah. And it's those qualities or characteristics or descriptions that are exclusively for Allah alone. And the example the Shaykh gave, like claiming that someone or something in the creation, somebody got a hand over here in the corner? Who's that, Yusuf? Huh. Claiming that someone or something in the creation, for example, Naam. has knowledge of unseen. And Allah is the only one who has knowledge of unseen. Not prophets or messengers or anything in the creation. And this is an example of giving a description, a quality to something in the creation that's exclusive to Allah alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 8. Memorize the second statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi as it relates to Tawheed. As it relates to Tawheed. Naam. Ahmed. وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْرُ وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْرُ Meaning?
There's nothing like
him. And there's nothing like him. Nothing similar to him. Nothing equal to him. The last two questions are in reference to this second statement that we closed with last week. Summarize the aqidah of the group refuted by this statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi and the deviant group opposite to them. Yani, what is the aqidah of the group of people that are refuted by this statement? By Al-Imam At-Tahawi saying, وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْلُهُ Who is he refuting with this statement? Who is he refuting with this statement? Talib. Mushabbiha. The Mushabbiha. Yani, who are the Mushabbiha? What was their yani, deviation? Tashbih. Tashbih. They make comparison between Allah and the creation. They didn't distinguish. لا يفرقون بين الخالق والمخلوق. They didn't make any distinction between the creator and the creation. And they considered that the qualities and characteristics that are mentioned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are similar to the qualities and characteristics of the created being. Allah hears and the human beings hear. So they must be similar. And this is a deviation. What is the opposite of this deviation that is also mentioned here? Naam. Abdul Wali. The Mu'attila. And the Mu'attila are the people who did what? Okay, make ta'wil or tahrif or ta'atil. Specifically, ta'atil. Naam, they went to the opposite extreme. Yani, according to their claim, they are trying to escape from comparing Allah to the creation. And in the process of doing so, they went to the extreme of negating the qualities and characteristics that Allah has affirmed for himself, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have affirmed for him. And the
name? What's the name again? Mu'attila.
Mu'attila. Iyyak. And the deviation of the Mu'attila is ta'atil. It's ta'atil. Yani, meaning to empty those qualities or characteristics or names of Allah from their real meaning. Emptying them from their real meaning in as they think or as they claim in an attempt to escape from making comparisons between Allah and the creation. The last question, summarize the correct aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah on this point as mentioned by Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan. Hafizahullah. And what is the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah on this particular point? Fadhu. Now, they affirm or confirm for Allah what he has affirmed for himself and what the Prophet ﷺ has affirmed for him, but in a manner that's befitting of his majesty. In a manner that's befitting of the glory and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Naam, without, yani they affirm for Allah what he has affirmed for himself, but without a tashbih, like the mushabbiha. And without ta'atil, like the mu'attila. Yani they didn't go to an extreme in affirming by making comparison between the creator and the creation, nor did they go to the extreme to avoid comparison. They didn't as well negate the meanings of these sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani that he has confirmed for himself. And the shaykh, he said that the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, laysa kamithlihi shay'un, is the negation of tashbih. Allah is saying there's nothing like him. Here he negates a tashbih. And then he said, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ is the negation of ta'atil. Yani Allah affirmed for himself that he is as-sami' and he is al-basir, and that's the negation of ta'atil. So both of these deviations, at-tashbih and at-ta'atil, are negated, are disproven by one ayat in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And there is nothing that is like him, and he is the all-hearing and all-seeing. This is mentioned in Surah Ash-Shura. 42nd Surah, 11th Ayah. So these are the some of the matters and important matters that we covered last week. And tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, as I mentioned, after the first two points that we have discussed in some detail, we're going to take the next few points. Did anybody look ahead at the next few points and see what is the next point? Yani, what is the next point after? Yani, there is nothing like him. Yani, la shay'a mithluhu. La shay'a yu'ajizuhu. Now, and the meaning of this, that there's nothing that can cause Allah, yani, to be described with ajiz, that he's incapable. Yani, there's nothing that's impossible for Allah. There's nothing that renders Allah incapable. Rather, he is capable and able to do everything. He is able to do everything. This is the next point, and we'll also look at, yani, the points following this. What is the point after that? وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. And there's no ilah, yani, there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped other than him. And the fifth statement is, anybody know? قَدِيمٌ بِلَا ابْتِدَى دَائِمٌ بِلَا انْتِهَى. Yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in, according to this statement, yani, I don't want to translate qadim, ancient, or something like this, because the meaning is not really applicable. But in any case, what is intended here is that Allah always existed. He didn't have any beginning. He said, qadimun bila ibtida. So the meaning here is corrected by saying, without any beginning. He didn't have any beginning. And then he said, da'imun, yani always, forever, eternally, yani everlasting, without any intiha, without any ending. So these are the points that we want to cover tonight, just briefly, inshallah. And as we go along, yani, those brothers who are memorizing the metin of this book, yani, just keep in mind that these are important statements concerning the Aqidah Islamiyah that the scholars of Islam since the time of Al-Imam At-Tahawi have given care to explaining and discussing in detail and conveying to the generations that came after them. It's something that we need to know well. And if a person is able to understand even, yani, the first 10 points, for example, that deal with Tawheed, yani, this is, yani, something that is beneficial. If not the whole of the book, at least intend, yani, some of it. If you can't get the whole of it, don't give up the whole of it, but take some of it. If a person couldn't memorize the whole of 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, memorize some of them. At least memorize some of them. If you didn't memorize the entire Quran, memorize some of it. Memorize some of it. Now, so tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be reading, Allahumma musta'an, we're going to be reading from the Muqtasa, yani the summarized sharh of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah, and some brief commentaries on the fifth point. Yani, some brief commentaries on the fifth point from Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah. As far as the first point that we're going to see tonight, and the second point, we're going to just look at the brief commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah. And when we get to the third point, we'll look at the commentaries of the Imams. So, in English, I did write down the pages tonight. In the explanation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, we're going to be reading from page 27. Page 27. And 28 and 29. Yani, for these three points. From the English translation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, we're going to be reading from page 27, 28 and 29. And from the Arabic explanations, yani, the commentaries of the Imams, we're going to be reading from page 25, or at least that's where the third point begins, on bottom of page 25. And we're going to be reading a few pages after that. And it's some of the commentary, at least of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and the commentary of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah. So this point in the Arabic copy of Sheikh Salih Fawzan's explanation is numbered as number 4. In the English translation, it's numbered as number 3. And in the other Arabic commentaries, it's numbered as number 3. So if you're looking at English, it's number 3 from Sheikh Salih Fawzan. And every place else, it's number 3. And except in Sheikh Salih Fawzan's Arabic copy, it's number 4. لا شيء يعجزه. لا شيء يعجزه. Yani there's absolutely nothing that can render him incapable. There's nothing impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, هذا إثبات لكمال قدرته. Yani that this statement, there's nothing that can render him incapable, or there's nothing impossible for him, this is the affirmation of the perfection of Allah's qudra. This is affirmation of the perfection of Allah's power and ability, His capability, that is perfect. There's nothing outside of it. There's nothing that He's incapable of doing. There's nothing impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh mentions 3 ayat concerning this. The first from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 120th ayat, قال تعالى وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who owns and possesses the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them, and He is over everything qadir. Yani He has power and the ability and capability to do everything. Then he mentions from Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 45th Ayat, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. And indeed Allah is over everything muqtadir. Yani He is the one who has absolute, complete power and ability over everything. And then he mentions finally from Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 44th Ayat, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the all-knowing and all-capable. Yani able to do everything. The Shaykh says that this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Qadir, ma'anahu al-mubaligh fil-qudra. Yani that Allah being Al-Qadir, it means that His power, His ability, yani is, yani, what can I say here? Yani meaning that it's no end to it. It doesn't have any limits. Al-mubalagha, yani, it doesn't have any limits. Yani, it's going to the furthest extreme that is possible. Yani His power is absolute. وَقُدْرَتُهُ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى لَا يُعْجِزُهَا شَيْءٌ. And Allah's qudra, His power, His ability, His capability, there's nothing at all that is impossible for Him to do. إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. And as Allah mentions in the Quran, in 36th Surah, 82nd Ayat, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَيَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. Yani that indeed the affair with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when He wills something, He merely says to it, be, and it is, and it comes into being. Yani this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that yani means that He is capable to do everything. If He wills anything, He merely says to it, kun, and it will be. فَهَذَا فِيهِ إِثْبَاتُ قُدْرَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَإِثْبَاتُ شُمُولِهَا وَأُمُومِهَا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. So this statement is the affirmation of the power and the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the affirmation of it, yani, encompassing everything. Yani shumuliha, it encompasses everything. And umumiha, it includes everything. Nothing, yani, is outside of Allah's power. Here the Shaykh addresses an issue that is a misunderstanding. And this is one of the reasons why it is so important. Even in Arabic, a person is reading the Quran, we have to also read the explanation of the Quran by the scholars of tafsir. Otherwise, on the surface, a person might read in Arabic that which makes them to think they understand what they are reading and they are not understanding it. The Shaykh says here, أَمَّا الْإِبَارَةُ الَّتِي يَقُولُهَا بَعْضُ الْمُؤَلِّفِينَ. As far as this expression that has been said by some of the writers, some of the people who are writing books. And it's interesting that he used the word mu'allafin to distinguish them from other people who are also writers, but they have knowledge, the ulama. The ulama are writers, but they are not writers, they are scholars. And these people are just writing books or writing articles. He said, they say, إِنَّهُ عَلَى مَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ, that Allah is able to do what He wills. Allah is able to do what He wills. فَهَذِهِ غَلَطٌ, this is a mistake. And he's saying that Allah is عَلَى مَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ is a mistake. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يُقَيِّدْ قُدْرَتَهُ بِالْمَشِيَةِ, because Allah Himself, He didn't limit His ability to His will, that He's only able to do what He wills. Allah Himself didn't limit it. بَلْ قَالَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, rather Allah said He is able to do everything. فَقُلْ مَا قَالَهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, so say what Allah Himself has said. Say about Allah what He Himself has said. إِنَّمَا هَذِهِ, yani this misunderstanding, yani the statement that Allah is only able to do what He wills, he said, إِنَّمَا هَذِهِ وَرَدَتْ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ إِذَا شَاءَ قَدِيرٌ, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is able to gather them together, meaning gathering the people, the creatures of the heavens and earth, and yawmul qiyamah, for accounting and yani reward and punishment, He's able to gather the people at that time, if He wills to gather them. If He wills, at that time He can gather them. Not that He's able to do it only if He wills. Rather, if He wills, because here, this action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathering the people is connected to yani something in the future, a future time. And so if Allah wills at that time to do it, He will do it. And He has informed us in the Quran and in the Sunnah that this is what He intends to do. And so He will do it. So the Shaykh, he says, this statement, the people have misunderstood. The meaning, لِأَنَّ الْجَمْعَ لَهُ وَقْت مُحَدَّد فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ, that this gathering the creatures of the heavens and the earth for accounting is something that has a specified time in the future. وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ فِي ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to gather the people, the creatures of the heavens and the earth, أي أهل السماوات وأهل الأرض, يعني the people of the heavens and the earth, He's able to gather them, في ذلك الوقت, at that particular time. And if He wills to do it at that particular time. And then the Shaykh mentions the ayah from Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 29th ayah, يعني the context of the ayah. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَثَّ فِيهِمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ إِذَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His signs, yani the signs of the qudra, the power and ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His greatness and His glory, from the signs of it is His creation of the heavens and the earth, and all of the creatures that He has spread in the heavens and the earth. And these are from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and yani ability. وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani is عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ إِذَا شَاءَ قَدِيرًا, at that time, if He wills, to gather yani the people, the أهل السماوات and أهل الأرض, if He wills to gather them at that time, then He is able to do so. He will do it if He wills to gather them at that time. So this is not a statement that is in reference to yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala limiting His ability to what He wills. Rather, what is limited to His will is, will He do it at that time or not? He is able to do it at that time if He will. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he says in the tafsir of this particular ayat, وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ أَيْ جَمْعَ الْخَلْقِ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِمْ لِمَوْقِفِ الْقِيَامَةِ, yani that He is able to gather them, meaning gather everything in the creation after they have died, for the place of standing on Qiyamah, yani for counting, yani for Hashr and Hisab and Jaza' Yawm al-Qiyamah. That Allah is able, yani He is able to gather the people at that time if He wills. He said, إِذَا شَاءَ قَدِيرٌ, yani meaning, قُدْرَتُهُ وَمَشِيَتُهُ صَالِحًا لِذَلِكَ, yani that Allah's qudra, His ability and His mashiyah, His will, yani, is there. Yani it's capable of doing this. Yani it's capable. Naam. It's salihan li dhalika. The only thing that is left to be determined, whether or not he will actually gather them, he says, is wujud al-khabar al-sadiq. Yani that if there's some truthful, yani knowledge that has been given to us about what's going to happen on that day. And he said, وَقَدْ عُلِمَ أَنَّهُ قَدْ تَوَافَرَتْ أَخْبَارَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَكُتُبِهِمْ بِوُقُوهِ. And yani it has come to us, the news, the information, mutawatira, yani from through many, many sources, from the messengers and in the revelations that were given to them, yani that this is going to occur on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the point here is what? That the Shaykh is saying that this expression, saying Allah is able to do what He wills, as though He's only able to do what He wills, Allah is able to do everything. He says, say what Allah Himself said about Himself. Say what Allah said about Himself. The second point, or the next point, he said, is, وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. And there's no ilah other than Him. هَذَا هُوَ تَوْهِيد الْأُلُوهِيَّ. Yani this statement, La ilaha ghayruhu, this is referring to Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. La ilaha means La ma'abuda bihaqqin ghayruhu. La ilaha means there's no ma'abud, there's nothing that is worshipped, that has a right to be worshipped, that deserves to be worshipped, except Him. Nothing, yani there's nothing that has a right to be worshipped except Allah. أما إذا قلت لا معبود إلا هو أو لا معبود سواه. As far as if you were to say there's no معبود except Him, yani there's nothing worshipped except Him, or there's nothing that is worshipped besides Him, فهذا باطل. This is false. This is false to say that there's nothing worshipped besides Allah. And Allah mentions how many places in the Quran about the Aliha, that they have many gods, they have many things that are worshipped besides Allah. But the meaning of La ilaha illallah is not that there's nothing worshipped besides Allah. The meaning is there's nothing that deserves, that has a right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, he said, this is batil, this is false to say that there's no ma'bud other than Him. لِأَنَّ الْمَعْبُودَاتِ كَثِيرًا. Because the things that are worshipped are many. Yani things that are worshipped other than Allah azza wa jalla. فَإِذَا قُلْتَ لَا مَعْبُودْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So if you were to say, there's nothing that is worshipped except Allah, فَقَدْ جَعَلْتَ كُلَّ الْمَعْبُودَاتِ هِيَ اللَّهِ. Then what you have done is you have made everything that's worshipped Allah. Yani you have made everything that is worshipped, yani Allah. If you said that there's nothing that's worshipped except Allah. So all those things that are worshipped, you're saying that all of that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَذَا مَذْهَبْ أَهْلُ وَحْدَةُ الْوُجُودِ. And this is the yani the madhab of the people who believe in the oneness of everything in existence. That everything in existence, pantheism. That everything in existence is one. This is the madhab of the people of Wahdatul Wujud. فَإِذَا كَانَ قَائِلْ ذَلِكَ يَعْتَكِدْ هَذَا فَهُوَ مِنْ أَصْحَابْ أَهْلُ وَحْدَةُ الْوُجُودِ. So if a person who says this really believes that, if a person who says this really believes that, then he is from the people who believe in pantheism. فَإِذَا كَانَ قَائِلْ ذَلِكَ يَعْتَكِدْ ذَلِكَ. And if a person actually believes that everything that is worshipped is Allah, then he's from those people. يعني, نعم. وَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ لَا يَعْتَكِدْ هَذَا. But if a person doesn't actually believe that everything that is worshipped is Allah, وَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُهُ تَقْلِيدًا. But he's only saying it following somebody else. أَوْ سَمِعَهُ أَحَدْ. Or he heard somebody say this. فَهَذَا غَلَطٌ. Then this is a mistake. وَيَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ تَصْحِيحُ ذَلِكَ. And it is obligatory upon him to correct this. And here, it's important to mention that in many books, even until today, and it used to be the norm that any book that's translated or written in English, La ilaha illallah is there's no God but Allah. There's no God but Allah. And we know for sure that there are many gods, many things that are worshipped besides Allah. So this translation is wrong. And that's what the Shaykh is referring to here, that to say that there's nothing worshipped besides Allah is false. And the meaning of it is then that everything which is worshipped is Allah. And this is an enormous, yani, calamity. for a person to say or to believe this. And until today, people are still translating La ilaha illallah as there's no God but Allah. Until today. Until today. The Shaykh says, يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ تَصْحِي ذَلِكَ. So a person yani, who was saying this yani, mistakenly, erroneously, then they have to correct it. وَبَعْضَ النَّاسِ يَسْتَفْتِحُ بِهَذَا فِي الصَّلَاةِ. He said, some of the people, they open their prayer with this. They open their prayer with this statement, yani, لَا مَعْبُودْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That there is nothing which is worshipped except Allah. فَيُقُولُ لَا مَعْبُودْ غَيْرُهُ. There is nothing which is worshipped other than Him. وَاللَّهُ مَعْبُودْ بِحَقٍ. While in reality, Allah is the only one that's worshipped, that has a right to be worshipped. وَمَا سِوَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ مَعْبُودْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And anything other than Him, besides Him, then it is something that is worshipped, but falsely. Falsely, without a right, or without deserving to be worshipped. And then he mentions the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 62nd Ayah, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. And that is because Allah, He is Al-Haqq. And He is the one who truly deserves to be worshipped. وَأَنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. And whatever they are calling upon and worshipping beside Him, then it is false. False. It doesn't have any right to be called upon or to be worshipped. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْخَبِيرُ. And indeed Allah is the Most High and the Most Great. The sixth point that Al-Imam Al-Tahawi mentions, قَدِيمٌ بِلَا إِبْتِدَاءٍ دَائِمٌ بِلَا إِنْتِهَاءٍ. That he is قَدِيم, ancient. And he qualifies that statement by saying, without any beginning. And Allah doesn't have a beginning. He always existed. دَائِمٌ, he will always exist. بِلَا إِنْتِهَاءٍ. Without having any ending. Without having any ending. And on this point, most of the scholars of Sunnah who commented on Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah have given yani, some commentaries on this particular point, and we'll read the statements of the two Imams, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah, concerning this. But before that, we're going to finish this brief commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan. He says concerning this point, Qadibud. قَدِيمٌ بِلَا إِبْتِدَاءٍ, that he is ancient without having any beginning, and he is دَائِمٌ, always without having any ending. And by the way, at this point, in the English translations on page 28 and 29, and in the Arabic, it's numbered as point number 6, in the English translation, it's numbered as point number 5. Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, says, كَمَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. Yani this, Allah not having any beginning and not having any ending, is indicated in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 3rd Ayat, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ. And He is the first and He is the last. The first, and without any beginning. Nothing before Him. And He is the last and there is nothing after Him. And also this is indicated in the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, أَنْتَ الْأَوَّلُ فَلَيْسَ قَبْلَكَ شَيْءٌ وَأَنْتَ الْآخِرُ فَلَيْسَ بَعْدَكَ شَيْءٌ. That the Prophet ﷺ said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the first and there is nothing before you. And this, yani, is a clarification of the meaning of first, yani, from the Prophet ﷺ, that there is nothing before Allah. And you are the last, and there's nothing after you. And there's nothing after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Then the Shaykh says, in reference to this word qadim, لكن كلمة قديم لا تطلق على الله عز وجل إلا من باب الخبر. Yani this word, or this description, qadim, being used to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, this should not be used in the absolute sense, without some qualifying, yani, statement that clarifies what is intended by qadim. Except min bab khabar. Yani that somebody is just mentioning something about Allah. Not claiming. Yani min bab al khabar means that we are not claiming that this is from the asma Allah husna. It's not from the sifat of Allah that are confirmed in the Quran and in the authentic sunnah. Rather, this is just a form of information. Yani outside of that which is from the revelation, from the Quran and sunnah. وَأَمَّا مِنْ جِهَةِ التَّسْمِيَةِ. But as far as if we look at it from the perspective of this being a name, يعني giving this as a name to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَيْسَ مِنْ أَسْمَائِهِ الْقَدِيمِ. يعني القديم is not from the names of Allah that are confirmed in the Quran and authentic Sunnah. وَإِنَّمَا مِنْ أَسْمَائِهِ الْأَوَّلِ. But rather, what is from his names in reference to this description is الأول. والأول ليس مثل القديم. And the name الأول is not like the name القديم. They are not the same. يعني they are not interchangeable. Their meanings are not the same. He says, لأن القديم قد يكون قبله شيء. يعني because the قديم, that which is described with this word قديم, it's possible that there may be something before it, even if it's ancient, but there could be something before it. And al-awwal, not so. And al-awwal, not so. أَمَّا الْأَوَّلْ فَلَيْسَ قَبْلُهُ شَيْءٌ. As far as this name, al-awwal, so its meaning indicates that there's nothing before him. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said when he said, أَنْتَ الْأَوَّلْ فَلَيْسَ قَبْلَكَ شَيْءٌ. You are the first and there's nothing before you. لكن المؤلف رحمه الله إحباط فقال قديم بلا ابتداء. So he says that the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, yani he was careful to add to this word قديم the qualifying statement, qualifying description that Allah is قديم but without any beginning, to make clear that it's not the meaning of قديم by itself that just means something is ancient, even though something could be before it, even though yani it didn't always exist. But he's saying, but يعني that he's qualifying by saying without any beginning. أما لو قال قديم وسكت فهذا ليس بصحيح في المعنى. If he were to have just said that Allah is قديم and then يعني remain silent after that, then this meaning would not be correct. After this, we're going to look at some of the commentaries that So, the commentary of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah is translated into English, and that PDF file we have sent to the class. So a person might refer to that, or you can purchase the book. I don't know if it's still available. It was published some time ago. It may still be available. But the PDF is available. So when we look at the commentary of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, inshallah, it is available. Yani a translation of it is available. As far as the other commentaries, particularly the commentary of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, so they are not, it is not available. But in any case, we're reading in Arabic from the commentaries on page 25, on the bottom of page 25, on the bottom half of page 25, it says, point number 3, وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ. There's nothing that renders him incapable. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. And there's no ilah other than him. Yani nothing that's worshipped with a right to be worshipped. قَدِيمٌ بِلَا ابْتِدَاءٍ دَائِمٌ بِلَا دَائِمٌ بِلَا انْتِهَاءٍ. So he is قديم and he has no beginning and he is always يعني everlasting without having any ending. Now, so I'm going to turn to page 26 and read from the commentary of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah, and in the English translation of his commentary, and it's just his commentary in a single book, somebody has translated. There are about 10 or 12 points, yani which the Imam has commented on Tahawiyah, and those points are translated in that book. So in that English book, it's on page 26 and page 27, from the English translation of the commentary of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. And in Arabic, it's on page 26 as well. قال الشيخ Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, هذا اللفظ لم يرد في أسماء الله الحسنى كما نبه عليه الشارع رحمه الله وغيره. He said, so this expression قديم has not يعني come to us يعني from the textual evidences in the Quran or Sunnah as one of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was brought to our attention by the Shari, he means Al-Imam Ibn Abd al-Izz, who has the famous commentary on Al-Aqidah Tahawiyah, and it is also translated. In fact, as far as we just came to know that there are three translations. I think the two of them are summarized and one is actually complete, that's published by Jamiat al-Imam in four volumes, about 600 pages. But it is available. There are three translations. Somebody just brought two of them to us recently and they are summarized, not complete. It appears as though one of them is definitely summarized and I think the other one is as well. In any case, he's referring here to Al-Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz, his commentary on Aqidah Tahawiyyah, which is a comprehensive commentary, and it's considered to be يعني Al-Aqidah Salafiyyah, according to the people of Sunnah, and it is the book that was and may still be studied as the main book of Aqidah in the Islamic University of Medina in all the colleges, the explanation of Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah by Al-Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz. He says, so he has brought this to our attention, that this is not from the Asma al-Husna, and he said that others also have mentioned this point, وَإِنَّمَا ذَكَرُهُ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ عُلَمَاءِ الْكَلَامِ لِيُثْبِتُ بِهِ وُجُودُهُ قَبْلَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Naam. He said, so this actually, qadim, is an expression that was used by the scholars of the people of kalam, rhetoric, yani who just use their opinions and their intellect to express things about the Islamic aqidah that doesn't have any basis in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And they use this word, qadim, ancient, or from time immemorial, something that existed for a very long time. They use this word to affirm Allah's existence before everything, yani to affirm that Allah existed. He's qadim. He existed before everything else. The Shaykh Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah says, "Wa asma Allah tawqifiyya." But the names of Allah are tawqifiyya. And here he gives a brief explanation, and Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah has given a more detailed explanation. But it's good that we understand what do we mean by the names of Allah are tawqifiyya. And this is something that we have discussed previously when we're dealing with Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyya. Asma Allah tawqifiyya. What does that mean? لا يجوز إثبات شيء منها إلا بالنص من الكتاب العزيز أو السنة الصحيحة. ولا يجوز إثبات شيء منها بالرأي كما نص على ذلك أئمة السلف الصالح. يعني شيخ عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله says, يعني the names of Allah being tawqifiyya means that it's not permissible to affirm anything as a name for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that there is a textual evidence for it from the book of Allah or from the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani if there is no textual evidence from the Quran and the authentic sunnah, then it's la yajuz. It's not permissible to affirm any name as a name of Allah except it came in the Quran and the authentic sunnah. La yajuz ithbat shay'in minha bira. And it's not permissible to affirm something as the name of Allah just based on somebody's opinion. Yani somebody's view or the intellect. And this is something that has been stated yani explicitly by the imams of the Salaf al-Salih. He goes on to say, وَلَفْظُ قَدِيم لَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْمَعْنَى الَّذِي أَرَادُهُ أَصْحَابُ الْكَلَامِ. He said that this expression that the people of Kalam, this expression al-qadim, it doesn't actually indicate the meaning that they intended. Yani, they intended to use it to show that Allah is yani before everything, and there's nothing before Him, and He always existed. He doesn't have a beginning. That's what they intended. But this word does not give that meaning. لأنه يقصد به في اللغة العربية المتقدم على غيره وإن كان مسبوقا بالعدم. كما في قوله سبحانه وتعالى حتى عاد كالأرجون القديم. سورة ياسين 36 سورة 39th آية. He said that because what is intended by this word al-qadim in the Arabic language, al-qadim means al-mutaqaddim ala ghayrihi, and is the one that came before someone else. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَسْبُوكًا بِالْعَدْمِ. Even if that one who came before someone else, even previously it didn't exist. Yani someone came first, but before that they didn't exist. He said that's the meaning of al-qadim in the Arabic language. And this is proven by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the moon and the stages of the moon that it goes through in the course of a month. وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلْ حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْأُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. And the moon, we have fixed for it, yani stages or stations that it goes through every day in the month. Yani as it reaches its fullness and then it declines. He said, until it returns, until it's in the state like an old curved date stalk. So he said that this use of the word qadim in the Quran is making us to know that what is meant is that which came before something else, even if before that it didn't exist. He said, إِنَّمَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْمَعْنَى الْحَقِّ بِالزِّيَادَةِ الَّتِي ذَكَرَهَا الْمُؤَلِّفِ. But rather the true meaning is indicated, yani that Allah didn't have any beginning and that there was nothing before Him. It's indicated by the extra wording qualification of Imam At-Tahawi when he said that he's Qadim, he doesn't have any, without any beginning. That is what brings the meaning to the correct position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said Qadim bila ibtida'in. He is ancient and he doesn't have, without having any beginning. Any meaning, he always did exist. Walakin la yambaghi. The Shaykh, he closes by saying, وَلَا يَنْبَغِي عَدُّهُ فِي الْأَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَى لِعَدَمْ ثُبُوتِهِ مِنْ جِيَةِ النَّقْلِ. He said, but it is not befitting, it is not proper, it's not permissible to count it or to consider it to be from the beautiful names of Allah. And that's because there's no confirmation of it مِنْ جِيَةِ النَّقْلِ, yani that which has been conveyed to us, yani by revelation. There's nothing in the revelation to confirm it. Therefore, it's not permissible to count it as one of the beautiful names of Allah. وَيُغْنِي عَنْهُ إِسْمُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ الْأَوَّلُ كَمَا قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ. Surah Hadid, 57th Surah, 3rd Ayah. And what makes us free of need of using this description, قَدِيم, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what makes us free of need of that is the name Al-Awwal, as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms for Himself in Surah Hadid, yani that He is Al-Awwal wal-Akhir. He is the first and the last. Wallahu wali at-tawfiq. And Allah is the one who gives success. Yani success is with Allah alone. The second commentary I'm going to look at very, very briefly is the commentary of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah, in which he, on the bottom of page 27 of the Arabic copies, it is said that he said, اعلم أنه ليس من أسماء الله تعالى القديم. And he starts by saying, know that Al-Qadim is not one of the beautiful names of Allah. That's what we start with. That's not one of Allah's names. وإنما هو من استعمال المتكلمين. Rather, this is something that was used by the people of Kalam. فإن القديم في لغة العرب التي نزل بها القرآن هو المتقدم على غيره. For indeed, this word, this expression, Al-Qadim, in the language of the Arabs, and Shaykh Al-Albani wasn't an Arab, so he's saying in the language of the Arab, the people of this thing, he, in the language of the people of the Arab, Al-Qadim, yani in the language of the people of the Arab, التي نزل بها القرآن, yani the language that the Qur'an was revealed in that language, Al-Qadim means هو المتقدم على غيره, yani the one who came before other than him. فيقال هذا قديم للعتيق وهذا جديد للحديث. Yani so this word قديم is used for something that was already there, yani that was ancient, that was there before. And جديد is used for that which came more newly, yani more recently. So قديم and جديد are relative. What was first is قديم and what came after it is جديد. قديم and جديد. This one came first, this one came after. It has nothing to do with, it doesn't have any beginning. And it didn't have, there was never a time when it didn't exist. That meaning is not indicated in the expression Qadim. He said, this name was not used by the Arabs. إِلَّا فِي الْمُتَقَلَّمَ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ وَلَا فِي مَا لَمْ يَسْبِقْهُ عَدَمْ. This name was never used by the Arabs except to have the meaning of the one who came before other than him, not having the meaning of that which wasn't preceded by non-existence. Yani it wasn't used to refer to that which always existed, that never was described with not existing. It never was used with that meaning. And the proof of that is the statement, yani, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Surah Yasin, that we read already, yani in reference to the stages of the moon, حَتَّى عَدَى كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. Yani that it goes through these stages, that it goes through until it returns to the yani to being in the being like the old curved date stalk. Yani as it begins to dwindle, yani it takes on this shape that resembles the old curved date stalk. Then the Shaykh he closes by saying, والأرجون القديم الذي يبقى إلى حين وجود الأرجون الثاني. Yani the old date stalk, curved date stalk, is the one that remains until the time that the next one comes, the second one comes. So when the second one comes, فإذا وجد الجديد, when a new one comes, قيل الأول قديم. Then the first, the one that came before that one is called قديم. That's all it means. Is that this one was before another one. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَسْبُوكًا بِغَيْرِهِ. Even if, yani this one is قديم, when the second one comes, the جديد, even if the قديم, even if there was something else that preceded it, it's still قديم in reference to the جديد. And this is confirmed by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in Majmu'a Fatawa, in the first volume, page 245, and also by the explainer of Aqidah Tahawiyyah, yani Ibn Abd al-Izz, in his explanation on page 112. And this is where we wanted to stop for today. And even actually we still have a few minutes left. But in any case, we're going to stop here. And we're just going to like look at, and in the next session, inshallah, and there are 4 points mentioned. لا يفنى ولا يبيد. Yani Allah will never cease to exist. He will never end. He will never yani cease to exist. ولا يكون إلا ما يريد. And nothing will come into existence. Nothing will happen except what Allah intends, what Allah wills. لا تبلغه الأوهام ولا تدركه الأفهام ولا يشبه الأنام. Yani that the yani imaginations cannot yani conceive of him, and the afham yani the understandings of people cannot fully encompass him, and he does not resemble yani the created beings, human or otherwise. These are the points, inshallah, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to try to cover next week. And these are the points, inshallah, that those who are memorizing should yani try to reach, inshallah, by next week, بإذن الله تعالى. Okay, we're going to stop here, inshallah. Actually, I did want to mention, and maybe I should mention, since we still have like 3 minutes remaining, or 2.5 minutes, a second explanation of tawqifiyah. Okay, first, right now, before we mention a second explanation, what is the meaning of tawqifiyah? And what did the Imam say is the meaning of tawqifiyah? Nam Ahmed.
It is not permissible to affirm any name for Allah that's not in the Nas, that's not in the Quran.
It's not permissible to confirm any name for Allah that didn't come with a textual evidence from the Quran or the authentic Sunnah. As Sunnah Sahihah. Note that he said, As Sunnah Sahihah. So, Shaykh Al Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, we just read briefly what he said concerning this. He said, Asma'ullah ta'ala tawqifiyah. لا مجال للعقل فيها. And the names of Allah are tawqifiyah. There's no room for a person's for intellect in determining what are the names of Allah. وعلى هذا فيجب الوقوف فيها على ما جاء به الكتاب والسنة. So based upon this, it is incumbent that we stop. الوقوف, that we stop, stand still, don't go forward concerning the names of Allah, except in confirming what came in the Quran and the Sunnah. فَلَا يُزَادُ فِيهَا وَلَا يُنْقَصُ لِأَنَّ الْعَقْلِ لَا يُمْكِنُهُ إِدْرَاكُ مَا يَسْتَحِقُّهُ تَعَالَى مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ. So we will not add anything to what came in the Quran and Sunnah, and we will not leave off anything that came in the Quran and Sunnah, and that's because the intellect of the human being is not possible to encompass, yani, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of names. Yani, the human intellect is not capable of this. فَوَجَبَ الْوُقُوفِ فِي ذَلِكَ عَلَى النَّصِ. Therefore, it's obligatory for us to stop and to rely upon the textual evidences. And this is based on, he mentions 3 reasons. Why do we have to only take the names of Allah from the Nas? The first proof is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 36th Ayat. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. And don't follow that which you have no knowledge of. And you're just making it up. The knowledge is from the revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah. And don't follow that which you have no knowledge of. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُوَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. And indeed, the hearing and the sight and the heart, all of these will be questioned. What did you see? What did you hear? What did you know? And you will be questioned. The second evidence he mentions is from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 33rd Ayat. The saying of Allah, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Yani that Allah is giving the command, say, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ. Say that indeed my Rabb has made haram, al-fawahisha, all types of indecencies, that which is done openly or secretly. Wal-ithma, and sin in general. Wal-baghya bi-ghayr al-haq, and transgressing the limits without any right. Wa-an tushriku billahi ma lam yunazil bihi sultana, and that you associate something as an equal or a partner or an associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that no authority was revealed for it. وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Or that you say, and that you say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. And it's interesting, as some of the scholars of the Sunnah said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this series of things that He has made haram, He coupled associating something with Allah without any authority with speaking about Allah without knowledge. Yani the magnitude of shirk, He has connected it as equal with speaking about Allah without knowledge. And then finally he said, and the third reason why we have to stop with the nas and not go beyond that, what came in the Quran and the Sunnah, وَلِأَنَّ تَسْمِيَتُهُ تَعَالَى بِمَا لَمْ يُسَمْ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَإِنْكَارُ مَا سَمَّ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ جِنَايَةٌ فِي حَقِّهِ تَعَالَى فَوَجَبَ سُلُوكُ الْعَدَبُ فِي ذَلِكَ وَالْإِقْتِصَارُ عَلَى مَا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّسْ. He said, because naming Allah with that which He didn't name Himself with, or rejecting or negating that which He named Himself with, is a major crime in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naming Allah with that which He didn't name Himself with, or rejecting that which Allah named Himself with, this is a major crime. So it is obligatory for us to observe adab, respect and manners in this matter of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْاِقْتِصَارَ عَلَى مَا جَاهَ بِهِ النَّاسِ, and to limit ourselves to that which came to us in the textual evidences of the Qur'an and the authentic sunnah. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ شَهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that we do it in accordance with the authentic sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His generosity and His kindness, that He recognize, record and reward all of our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, steadfastness upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah for shifa', for healing for those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, to fill their graves with light and to make them spacious, and to admit them into His paradise and save them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And that Allah grant relief. Wallahu musta'an. That Allah grant relief. And He is the one who does whatever He wills. May Allah grant relief. Yani to the Muslims, men, women and children who are persecuted and slaughtered, murdered unjustly in Palestine and in Yemen and Sudan, and in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, and India, and China, and Burma, and any place in the earth where Muslims are persecuted, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant relief to the Muslims. And may He compensate them for these things that they are being tested with by His, and based upon His perfect wisdom. May Allah reward them generously and compensate them in this world and in the next. Indeed, Allah is the one from whom help is sought. If anybody has a question or a comment or a correction, inshallah, we're going to, whoever doesn't have to leave, inshallah, we're going to stay for a few minutes. Inshallah, we have some refreshments. And while we have our refreshments, inshallah, we can take any questions or any comments or any corrections. Naam, barakallahu feekum.